Welcome back to Dope. What is it today?
Today's name is Dope Vibes.
Welcome back to Dope Vibes.
Welcome back to Dope Vibes, where we talk about anything audio related.
Double A-R.
A-A-R. Anything audio related.
Idea, I guess. Did we think of that?
Yeah, we did.
So yeah, today we will be talking about... First off, we'll be starting a new segment called Track of the Day, where we will be talking about the track that we've been listening to either today or for the whole week, because we're going to try and do these podcasts weekly. And we're going to talk about why it's a good track or why we like it. So it could be any track that we've been interested into. Then we'll be going into our favorite game. No. Yeah, our favorite. No, I read it wrong.
Oh dear. And it all falls down.
It all falls down. I was reading the script wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So today's topics, obviously, we have a new introduction of Track of the Day, which we talk about, as Dan said, anything we've been listening to today or throughout the week that we find interesting, we like. Why do we like it? Bit of bias included. It's just how it is. After that, we will talk about analog versus digital, one of the topics we missed off from last episode. Hopefully, we get a good catch-up on it. Hopefully, we get a good discussion out of it. Our opinions, obviously, I think being kind of like what you consider the newer generation of producers, of sound designers, I think we both lean towards digital, would you say?
Yeah. I'd say it's leaning into more digital.
Then after that, we've got the future of mixing and mastering. We're going to be talking about the AI versus human, great big thing. We're talking about Lander, we're talking about presets, anything that can be kind of integrated into that. And then just to top it off, we're going to talk about film scores, absolutely broad thing. Loads of amazing producers. Who would you say?
Oh, like...
Let's just give it a little quick snippet.
Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer, bro. You basic. Basic like that. My favourite one, I think I did an essay on him, Ben Salisbury.
Oh, okay. Amazing. Okay, I did an essay on Hans Zimmer. That's why I picked him.
So we're both basic.
Yeah, we kind of, yeah.
All right, so let's just rewind this shit. Let's do a little cool sound effect. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Track of the day, Dan. Off you go.
My track of the day is it's not a new track, it's an old track. It is Frozen by Madonna.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's that track I showed you before.
Yeah.
In the classroom. Yeah.
I'd call that a guilty pleasure.
Oh, Madonna?
Yeah. I think not Madonna in general. I think that specific song, when you played it, that was the first time I heard it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, because I wasn't really familiar with kind of, like, you know, Madonna's emo phase, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's something about the music matched with, like, the video. Like,
yeah.
Made me, like, weirdly uncomfortable.
It was, it's a very weird, uncomfortable.
But then, like, with just the music, like, not including the video, I thought it was a bit, I don't know, how would you call it? I don't want to say basic, but basic.
Yeah, as in, like... Evanescence.
Yeah, Evanescence. Definitely like Evanescence, the look was there as well, yeah. I have to admit.
All black.
Yeah.
Dark blue hair.
Like a real, like, sad blue filter on the video.
Yeah. Thinking back to the video.
Chair squeaks.
Yeah. You got to get a lot of chair squeaks in this one. There we go. Fixed. Yeah, okay, it's fixed. I've noticed there's like it's filmed in like the salt plains in America, I think. You know, that salt lake that gets dried up. So it's just pure salt on the floor.
Do you reckon Ooh. Do you know what'd be interesting? Doing like a recording there. Cause I'm sure that I don't know, there's been like a thing with like Baba Mal that I've been told about, you know, where you're like recording in the desert. Cause you don't like get any sort of like reverb, because it's desert and then
nothing. Yeah, there's no walls.
You just got to be careful, like wind and whatever.
True.
But something recorded in that kind of landscape.
It'd be very odd. It'd be like kind of a dead room, I guess.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Yeah, pretty much. That track, I don't know how to describe it.
I just felt when I was listening to it, it felt like you're floating, like
ethereal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the word. That one. Yeah, it's just very, because the reason why I've been listening to it recently is because I am a TikTok whore. I'm on TikTok all the time.
Oh, is that the biggest thing at the moment?
TikTok. Yeah, I've I'm always just scrolling because it's so easy. The format of TikTok, you can just 5 second video, scroll, 5 second, boom.
Yeah,
boom.
You get, you know, you can quickly get what you like.
Yeah, and yeah. If your For You page isn't disturbing.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that, and there's remixes of that song, like the main choir. Like, ooh, there's like a load of chop edits of it.
Beautiful.
Like, so, and people are making huge remixes out of it and stuff. And I was just like, oh, what's this song? Did it, and I found out the original was actually done by Madonna years ago. I was like, oh,
it's like a bit of a comeback.
It's like, that's a very weird thing. But yeah, so that's where I found the song. I found it on TikTok, funnily enough. And I just started listening to it. It's just very, like, it opens up your mind. It's very, like, it seems like dystopian and utopian at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she talks about your heart being broken and frozen.
It's a sad boy song.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, oh, I would melt your heart because it's frozen.
If you like a bit of Joji, hop on Frozen by Madonna. That's how I'm hearing this at the moment.
Joji, oh my God. I must talk about him next week.
Add it to the list.
He is... The way he, like... From Pink Guy to, like, his Joji stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like two different personalities, but he's so.
I'm gonna say
definitely
that for
need
next
to have
week.
An
that
episode on him.
Big research. Yeah. But your track was Frozen by Madonna. Interesting.
Yes.
Utopian, dystopian, ethereal, ambience / pop.
Yeah, it's very. It's like melodramatic, but a good melodramatic.
See, mine's completely in the other avenue. Mine's called "Spinning in Daffodils" by Them Crooked Vultures. Don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, it sounds interesting. Obviously, I'm going to be playing clips of these tracks.
All rights to the respected.
Oh
artist.
Yeah, all rights and stuff. Please. It's like probably a second clip.
And I think what I like about it, I'm like a guitar, like a profound guitar whore. Like I've got like a strong bias. Like one of my favorite like genres, like good guitar riffs. Like, if it's got that, I'm going to like the song, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for guitars and stuff. I love guitars.
I just like this, like, I don't even think it's like guitars. I think it's like an ensemble, because I think when you get a band, you get like an equal part in everything. Like, there's equal guitar, equal bass, drums and vocals. But if it's like a singular artist, the main draw is the voice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're talking about like Bruno Mars, your Beyoncé's, Rihanna's. People don't listen to that. Go, oh, that's a good beat. Mm. Go, oh, it's Rihanna. It's Bruno Mars. Wow. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I like the song. But obviously, I just appreciate having more guitar in my songs. It makes it, you know.
Yeah, there's an...
It's more relatable because I used to play. So it's like, oh, I could learn this. I know I won't. Like, realistically. But I like listening to it with that kind of...
I've got a song to recommend you now. I forgot the artist's name. He is an ex-guitarist, and I'm sure the song's called Technical Difficulties, and it's just a guitar solo.
Oh, a bit of like Freebird, that 6 minute guitar solo. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. It's just a drum beat, and he's just like, see if I can get it up. But yes, it's really.
All right, I'll definitely have a listen. Technical Difficulties. We don't know who it's by, but we will research for the sake of research and content. So, like, track of the day out of the way. We hope you had a good listen. Hope maybe you can...
Racer X.
That's the artist.
Racer X is the artist.
So we hope you took a chance to listen to the tracks that we've put down. Maybe you enjoyed it. If not, please tell us what you think.
Yeah, definitely send in some of your recommendations.
Yeah, we love a bit of opinions. If you have anything guitar-heavy for me, anything kind of dystopian, utopian, ambient pop, that's for Dan.
Yes.
For this week at least,
yeah. Next week will be completely different because I listen to a load of different stuff.
I don't know, mine's pretty consistent, to be fair.
Is it?
Yeah, like...
I can go from, like, really metal-y, like, hardcore metal, then rock, and then it can go to trap, hip-hop.
See, mine's mainly, like, rock, because it's such a broad genre. It's, like, very, very different.
Okay, yeah.
Like, something I've discovered recently that I thought I love so much is stoner rock.
Stoner rock.
Yeah, because like the whole point of stoner rock, right, is to give you the feeling of being on like psychedelics without actually being on psychedelics. So it's always like dead chill. Like it's I don't know quite how to explain it. It's best to kind of listen to it. But it's just it's a good like if you're bored and you need something on, I 100% recommend Stoner Rock. 100%.
Stoner Rock.
Yeah, dude.
That sounds awesome, actually. Yeah.
Honestly, there's a great band for Stoner Rock. I think it's called Elephant Tree. it's a weird name.
Yeah, Elephant Tree.
Elephant Tree, yeah. Yeah, Elephant Tree. And if you're going to listen, I'll listen to Echoes.
Echoes, okay.
Echoes, yeah. By Elephant Tree, 100%. Not, I realise I've just done two tracks of the day, so...
Oh!
I think we're going to segue, big vroom vroom, onto the next segment, which will be analogue versus digital continuation from the last episode that we didn't include because we ran out of time.
Yes.
Now, Dan, how do you feel?
Well, see... I'm a bit on both, but I'm more digital because it's easier and stuff. As in, everyone's gonna have their own laptop and have their own DAW they bring with them and stuff. But
it's easier and less expensive, digital, right?
Yes, yes. But then you don't get the feeling of analog. As in, like analog desks and mixing, they have tube.
Yeah, tubes. Like that's something we've heard quite a lot since we've started. The course that you get this kind of warmth, this nice saturation from analog gear that's, you know, been used over time.
Yeah,
it kind of wears it in, you get a nice like warmer sound basically.
Yes, yeah,
whereas
yeah.
Like if you use it like, all digital, it can be feel a bit computerized, I guess you could say. But like, yeah, you can tell it's digital.
Yeah,
but then it's understandable because it's like if you get like a Mini Moog synthesizer, right? Like a couple of grand at least. If you get like a plug-in for it, what would you spend, like up to 100 maybe, if that? And then that, you've got that plugin, right? That's yours.
Yeah.
You don't have to like worry about maintenance, making sure it's, you know, upkept, making sure nothing happens to it.
True.
Servicing
then,
it.
Yeah, servicing
so
and
I
stuff.
Think that,
yeah.
That's like the main draw for digital.
Yeah, because it's so hard to change any component on a analog desk because it's so fidgety.
Yeah, it's fit like patch based. And if you have loads of like outboard equipment,
yeah,
you're, you know, patching in and out. And I don't know about you, but I hate patch based.
I like the idea of
the idea is good, like connectivity and whatever. What I don't like is like the tiny writing you get.
Oh god, yeah,
and then,
so
like the mix, like all the holes, man.
It's so fiddly, yeah.
It's not a phobia. I just don't like. Yeah, it's fiddly. I think it is.
It's very fiddly. It's very unnecessary, I guess.
Yeah, I don't mind like outboard if it's already routed. Like if you get like a Reverb One send and it's like hard patched into like a Lexicon.
Yeah.
So that way you just turn that up, you can set a setting on Lexicon and it's done. If you need to go out of your way, you know, use sends and patch, bring it back.
Yeah.
And it's like so much effort. Like if I'm in like a recording stage,
yeah,
and you have to add 100%, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'd just like drag in an effect.
Exactly. Like I'd just record it. I'd take it home or take it to a studio here.
Yeah.
And just do it in the box. I'd do it on Pro Tools, whatever, do a reverb that
way. Yeah, I'd just like a plug in.
Yeah.
Like that could be another thing on this segment, as in like would you prefer doing analog effects or would you prefer doing digital effects?
Digital, 100%.
Yeah, I think that's more. I think that's what I meant, as in when I put it in the notes. As in, like, if you wanted to add stuff, would you do it preferably as in actually hardware? Because I've used some hardware reverb before, but I've never ever put it into a track.
No, before. And recorded it that way.
I've recorded it that way.
Yeah,
like, no. In all the years. It's like, yeah, it sounds good, but I mean, like, there's. In my standard Ableton stuff, there's over 20 preset reverbs.
Exactly. It's easier, isn't it? You get more options.
And there's so much weirder ones. Like, there's one called Empty Club.
And I think another thing is, it's no commitment.
Yeah.
Like, if you... Like, in the olden days, fucking, like, tape machines or whatever, whatever you do, like, effects and whatever, that's
on
tape.
Yeah, it's on tape is, like, a saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, balls, it's on tape.
Like, if you mix it amazingly... in a like room with absolutely shit like acoustics, and then you take it out, and then it sounds shit.
Yeah,
it's a waste of tape, waste of time.
Yes, definitely.
You do it on a computer.
Imagine doing it to vinyl.
Oh god, no.
Because I watched this thing about wax cylinders.
Yeah.
How they used to record onto the wax cylinder, and if they got it wrong, then they'll just have to scrap that cylinder. imagine how expensive it would have been to make a wax cylinder, record to it, and then find out that your mic wasn't turned on.
Oh.
Obviously, they didn't have microphones back then in the wax times, but yeah.
I think there's a YouTube video. I think it's a Rob Scallon.
Okay.
He did a. It's a great video. It's like he recorded like a full metal band.
I think that's the same one.
Onto like a wax cylinder.
They had to go through this giant tube.
Yeah, yeah, through like a gramophone.
A gramophone, so it would like move the needle to scratch it into it.
And then when they listened back to it, and it was just
crap.
Yeah.
It was
like, but I don't know. I've always learned digital. I think that's just kind of like the learning style that I've had since the beginning.
Yeah, even with like effects and stuff, like when, because we here in our course, we learn about EQing and how to use the desk and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's also compression in the upstairs desk built into the desk with EQ. I've never properly done EQ on a mixing desk. All my mixing and mastering is done all on my laptop.
You've got to be like really committed and confident to do it on the desk.
Yeah, like I use the desks just for the speakers. Well, monitor, sorry.
Yeah. But you got to be like experienced, because with plugins you can see. Do you know, if you get like a waveform, you can see what you're doing, you get visual information.
On Pro Tools and some of them you don't, it's very annoying.
I know, but even then you get like graphs.
Yeah.
That you see like what you're affecting. If you're doing that like with a little knob on a desk, you're just relying on your ears. And if you're...
Oh yeah, you still get a graph that you can drag them and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but if you're relying on your ears and you're not really that experienced...
It can be very...
It can turn into a mess like really quickly.
It can turn into a mess, and it can also discourage you too.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why digital's kind of better for like beginners.
Yes.
It eases you into it better. You get visual and auditory information.
True.
And then it's...
You don't have to go through the whole power-ups procedure. And
exactly. You just turn the MacBook
thing
on.
Of blowing up the monitors. But I only use studios, really, mixing desks for their powerful monitors and stuff, so you get a better, it's going to be better than headphones and a laptop speaker, definitely.
Yeah.
But all the actual mixing and mastering I do at home on my
laptop.
Obviously
recording as well, because you need them channel strips, unless, you know, you're doing two tracks at a time. On
That's true. Like if you're doing actual recording bands and stuff, then yeah, you would use a studio.
Yeah, 100%.
But then like, even if you're doing the EQ, I would rather use a plug-in EQ than the desk EQ.
Yeah.
But then there's the argument of like, oh, it sounds better and stuff, but EQ should sound normal no matter what. And so like, I understand the compressor and everything else should sound warmer and stuff because it's a mixing desk with tubes, but the EQ should technically be the exact same as in plugins and every other EQ. Just, it should be, because it's like, why would you turn down the high frequency and it does a different high frequency than it does on a different EQ?
Yeah.
That just makes no sense. Like, high frequency is high frequency, as in, like, 1,000 hertz is 1,000 hertz. So if I want to turn that down, it's not like I want to turn down 1.4 instead of actually turning down 1. You don't get what I mean? Well,
with analog equipment, I think the main drawing point is it being processed through that, like you said, because of the tubes, for that warmth. But then you got to think, is it worth...
That didn't come through to the recording, but we just got a notification.
Lovely. Anyway, like I was saying, the main draw with analog equipment is, like you said, with the tube, so everything does sound warmer. But then you got to ask yourself, is it like 70 grand worth of warmer?
Yeah.
If you're like a huge producer, yeah, go ahead. If you're like intermediate or below, I'd probably say no.
Yeah, and this links into next week's podcast as well, as in I was going to talk about headphones and microphones.
A little teaser.
Yeah, a little teaser. But yeah, I've got some good ideas for that. As in, because I'm a huge headphone collector, and warmer is definitely one of the reasons why I buy different headphones. But yeah, but like for recording purposes, like that's why I was saying you can buy headphones that make things sound warmer. So why go through the process of buying a 70 grand mixing desk to make it sound warmer when people just buy bass boosted headphones anyway? and no one's going to hear the actual warmth unless you've got completely flat headphones.
Yeah, which is what you should really use if you're mixing.
Yeah, if you're mixing, but nobody casually listens to music. So saying if I make a warm track,
yeah,
no one's going to hear how warm it is if they've got Apple earbuds.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
well, that's the whole point. You're mixing for like the higher end.
But even the higher end people.
But you, I think the best way to look at it is if it sounds that good at the top. Like,
yeah.
Top.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's not saying like, oh, you should just do the bare minimum.
Yeah, if it sounds good at the top range, it will sound good when you hit downgrades. Yeah, but if it sounds shit at the top range, it's going to just get
worse. That should be a plug-in idea called Warmer.
I'm sure that's already a thing.
It should be. I think it's just... It's probably tubed, isn't it? Like, yeah. There's a tube plug-in, so you could... Yeah. idea in and out, straight like that.
Go on, so what would you say your verdict is?
My verdict
versus digital was.
It's like, for the convenience, I would go for digital.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just better in every way. But I mean, like, you can get tubed plugins to make it sound like that, but it's not.
Then it's still not exactly the same thing.
It's not the same thing. It's better to have the option, I guess. As in, like, I wouldn't just refuse to not learn.
Do you know what? Even with the option, I've rarely used outboard equipment. Like, we've been here for 2 years now.
I've been here for 3-4 years now.
Exactly.
And I've... No.
And when they tell me, oh, yeah, just use a Tube Tech compressor, I'll be like, yeah, I'll... No.
Nah.
Like, I'll do it this way.
I'll just drag a compressor in.
But, you know, better the devil you know if you know how to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd like to learn. I like learning that I know both. So I can do both and stuff. But, like into the future, if I want to become... audio engineer or something, then at least I know how to use the desk and the differences.
Yeah.
So you're picking digital as well?
Oh yeah, 100%.
100%.
I'm not going to disregard the benefits of analog for the sound quality, if you can say that.
Yeah.
But I am going to regard the kind of expense, time to learn it.
Time to learn.
Because every desk isn't the same.
Upkeep of it.
Yeah, upkeep.
The power.
Yeah, like some desks, they just keep running.
Like, you need at least 4 or 5 amps just to power the desk, and then 4 or 5 more to power the monitors.
And then you just leave that running, so that's gonna do your electric costs through the roof. Because it literally.
And then you have to pay on top of that Pro Tools.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so like when you could just cut all that middleman and just buy Pro Tools.
So the bait. What's sick.
Yeah. Rolling tired.
Sorry about that. Sorry. So yeah, we'll edit that out.
We'll find out.
I forgot what I was saying. I was like, yeah, so like the maintenance of it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
It's just, there's so much that can go wrong as well. You use a desk for like 30 years.
Yes, definitely.
You're going to rub off some of them buttons. And if
the desk upstairs is from the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. And have you seen the state of it?
It is.
Like it's good bit of equipment, maybe even great, but the weight, like, it's breaking down.
It's on its last breath. It's over 50. I wouldn't
say like last breath,
unless they know how to fix the buttons.
Yeah,
the buttons,
that's
like,
what I mean. Over the last,
if they didn't have like services for that desk, I would have scrapped it
a long time ago.
Most of the most important buttons are broke. The actual faders don't work because you need a special computer for that desk, which they don't have. They've linked it to a Mac, so the actual auto mapping of the buttons don't work, so bottom half of the desk is useless.
So, you know, that lesson learned, just go digital if you're starting.
Just go digital. Yeah,
so much easier.
I think it's easier, definitely. So yeah, rolling on. Pun intended.
No. Please, no.
We're moving on from, because we're talking about mixing and mastering, we're talking about the future of mixing and mastering. So that's AI mastering versus human mastering.
Human
mastering.
I think no matter what, I think human comes out on top, right?
Yeah.
100%. Like,
but I mean,
surely.
It's more about the future of it. So as in, like, it's still going to become a thing.
Yeah.
So like, should we be scared as audio engineers?
No.
Not at all.
Because I think a little bit, but not a lot. Because the way I see it, whilst I was in college, we'd like any like tracks we made, we did through like MIDI, like draw the chords in and whatever. And it would always snap correctly to the time signature you're using. Mm. So it was always in time. But then you get this kind of effect where it's almost two in time.
You can tell why they've got a feature to add swing.
Yeah, exactly. Swing, you can manually like drop it, like drag it a little bit back behind, give it a bit of a drag feel. Because if it is just computer, it sounds computerized, it sounds digital. And I think the concept of kind of like human error is a great thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even though it's called human error, that's what kind of adds the humanity to like a song. And I think that can be applied to mixing and mastering. Because if everyone like hits a button and then you get a perfect mix every single time, everything will just sound.
It would sound too robotic. Yeah.
It will sound too perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. It would do, but I was thinking more about as in, should our jobs, do you feel like our jobs could be threatened by it?
Like I said, a bit, but I don't think too much.
So what's the point in a human mastering it if it takes even longer when...
Because, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all. If you take an EQ preset, and let's say you've got four different tracks, right?
Yeah.
And you put the same preset on every bass.
Yeah, I know that it's definitely... humans are... But I'm agreeing with you. Like, I know that the humans is going to be better than the robots, but I'm just thinking, like, is it going to get to a point where... because AI is getting really intelligent now, so I was just thinking, like, is there, how many years do you think it's going to take before it should be threatening, or it is threatening?
I think it already is threatening. I think like it's going to be a short term thing though, because people love to start using it because it'd be easier, right? You click a preset, you send your mix off to Lander to get it mastered, and then I think people will do that for maybe a couple of albums just because of the convenience sake.
Yeah,
but
true.
Then you know it'll come
saves
back.
You money,
yeah,
it?
It'll come back to haunt it though, because it'll all be you know the same.
Yeah, because each track was meant to be sounding different on the album. So
exactly.
So yeah, so I think it's gonna be starting to become a real threat in about 20 years, which is a long time for. The tech world,
yeah, that's like
and stuff
huge.
Yes, like that's gonna be, but then I think once it reaches 20 years, I think in about 3 years after that, like we might be out of a job.
Really,
I think so.
You best start earning that money quick, then.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I think it's gonna get to a point where people are gonna be like, yeah, it sounds better from a human, but who really cares about that now?
Yeah.
I think it's going to get to that point. It's like, you know, yeah, I agree, humans are going to be better and stuff, but they're going to be like...
But it's cheaper to do it with a computer.
It's going
to
be cheaper, it's going to be quicker. So that's why I think it's going to be really threatening in 20 years.
It's sort of like the analog and digital, right? Analog, a lot of human physicality in that. Digital,
yeah,
it's a lot more computerized.
So that's why I was thinking about...
Yeah,
like,
that's what we prefer.
It's going to be coming... I think, like, you just send a song to Siri, and Siri would make it for you, and then... publish it as well. And we're not even going to need record labels.
Yeah, publish it, sort out your tax return forms.
It's going to get to that point because we've got self-driving cars.
Yeah.
They can get you to your destination. So why can't it sort out my tax? I just give it all the numbers.
I know, but then what's the point?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Oh. It's going to become a threat. And then it's going to come to the point as in, like, are we going to do anything human anymore?
Everyone's just walking around with metal plates and just robots.
Like, there's AI painters I've seen.
Really?
Yeah, like you give it a song and it will paint what it thinks the song, like what it thinks about when it's hearing that song.
Oh.
Which is even more mind-blowing that an AI can actually think. It's got an actual conscious and it thinks.
Well, it's kind of, I think, is it isotope ozone, where you get it's like a EQ. Obviously, you can kind of use like a reference track, kind of see how, like, where certain frequencies kind of are boosted, where they're not as present.
Yeah.
And you can, like, take that template and then apply it to a different song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just, you know, get more the same.
Mm.
Which, if you do that for a full album, you know, what's...
It's going to be a very flat album, isn't it? Well, as in, like, all of the tracks will sound EQ-y, same, as in...
They'll sound, like, tonally same.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, tonally.
Well, that's kind of what you're going with for an album. I think that's... Do you know what? You've just switched my perspective on that now.
Yeah.
God, I need to get into construction or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as humans, like, as you can see through history, we're lazy.
Yeah.
In a way, we're lazy. So if we can get...
I'm yawning right now.
If we can get some robot to edit our tracks for us, we would, wouldn't we?
I know, but then you just, you know, it'd be Wall-E, wouldn't it?
True.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's what...
Do you know what? Get me that floating bed, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Floating beds do seem very good. But then I think there might be a backlash, as in people are like...
The resistance. The audio engineer resistance.
Yeah, as in, like, oh, we want the soundtrack, we want tracks to sound human again. So we want to disable AI mastering. So I think that might happen.
I don't know. There's a lot of money to be made there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. In AI.
Because if it's cheaper to do AI mastering, that's where you get a bigger market. That's where people would go.
Yeah, yeah.
So the people that, like, own it or invest in it, they'll absolutely have all the money, wouldn't they?
Yeah. It's a very interesting topic, isn't it?
Very interesting. I'm slightly concerned that I may have chosen the wrong profession to go into this line now.
Well, becoming an audio engineer, maybe with AIs could do it like 10 times better.
Maybe I'll just go.
But you always got to remember, like, human touch. We've heard in our lesson, like, if you don't trust it, always trust your ear. Your ear is, like, your main
tool. Because that's, you know, that's going to be better than any computer, right? Because that's a reference that, you know, no one's got, like, a different shape. Well, I guess they might have a different
shape.
That's
why, like, you can reference other people. It's like, oh, Dan, could you listen to this? Because...
Yeah, and usually you get the kind of the same response.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's, like, machine learning...
True.
They don't have this, like, reference. They don't have, like, a presence range that we do.
They were just born on the spot. We've had our whole lives to listen to audio and stuff.
Yeah. What a beautiful life.
Oh, yeah. So much audio of the freaking motorway next to our studio. But, yeah.
Double AR, man. Anything audio related.
Anything audio related.
All right. So, let's say that will be part one.
That'll be part one of this podcast.
And then
thank
we're
going to
do
listening.
Part two. We don't need to do a thank you because we're just fucking...
So, anyway, movie scores. Oh, if you haven't noticed, we had to record this in part two. In a very janky setup.
The quality will be good.
Hopefully.
If I don't move too much.
His cable's absolutely buggered. Oh. I think Roland died.
I'm still here.
Right, movie scores. If you go, I'm going to let you do the
movie
talking.
Woo! Okay, my movie score would be... Tron Legacy is one of them.
You only get one. You get one.
My favourite of all time.
Yeah, well, just relevant one to recently.
I like Oblivion. Have you seen Oblivion?
With Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. That soundtrack is really good.
No, I've listened to the soundtrack. I've seen the film.
Anyway, yeah, the film's great. I love the film. Is that mine? Okay. Yeah, the film's great. I like the soundtrack, but I think my favourite one that I've listened to, like, I've went actually back to it and watched it. I mean, listened to it.
Yeah.
Would be Tron. Definitely Tron Legacy. Mostly because it's made by Daft Punk. And I'm an absolute Daft Punk stan. Love Daft Punk so much. But yeah, mine would be Tron Legacy.
Why? Oh, one sec. I heard it coming.
You felt it coming. Go on, look at that waveform.
There's a disturbance in the
phone. No, that's a new thing.
Right, okay, cool. Now we're back on track. Why Tron?
Vitron. Well, I think most of it might have just been because it's my favorite group. But when I delved deeper into the actual like theory behind it, it is modern mixed with future. Like you've got synthesizers, but then you've also got orchestra inside it as well, and they're mashed together.
So which would you say is modern, which is future?
No, it's both of them in that album.
Yeah, so orchestra and synthesizers.
Yeah.
So which one's modern, which one's future?
Oh, modern will be the orchestra.
I think synthesizers are still modern.
Well, yeah, I know they're classic modern, but yeah, you can get more futuristic sounds out of them. Synthesizers.
Weird concept, futuristic sounds. There's no such thing as
futuristic. Yeah, okay, if you're actually thinking about it that way. Can't do the future. Everything's the future. This minute's the future.
Just string.
String.
Just a bit of bark off a tree. In a bowl and people just pull it.
Yeah.
That's future music. Boing. Boing, 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 boing.
Boing.
That's future.
Future.
Oh, Tron, because it's done by Daft Punk, mixed with modern and future.
Although I think it like kind of sounds epic as well. I am a Daft Punk fan, yes.
You think anything they do?
Anything they do is awesome.
Around the World is the same song, 6 months. Same thing, 6 months.
Yes, but it's like awesomeness for 6 minutes. So
no.
It is.
Around the world. 6 minutes.
I think it's just because I like the British ones.
Yeah. You've got to have a bit of flavour, a little bit of texture, a bit of different.
That's where the around the world. Two different verses.
Yeah, what's that to say?
They say around a bit different.
You're really trying to nitpick into it now. like it's not the same thing, guys.
It's not the same thing.
It's not like when FIFA players say, it's a different game, I swear. It justifies the £60 price point.
No. FIFA would never be justified.
FIFA is the Daft Punk.
No! How dare you? You cannot say that.
Yeah, what do you mean FIFA is the Daft Punk of games? Same.
I'm not having that. Nope.
Whatever. I think that's quite accurate. 100%.
If I'm properly trying to think of other film stars, I'm saying Transformers. Yeah. You're talking about the film score, the actual music in the game. Yeah.
You set the question.
Right, Linkin Park did.
Yeah. I think we should focus on the actual scores. What's the name? Do you know what is a good one? Ex Machina, composed by Ben Salisbury. 100%, because it's classic, right?
I remember the film. I can't remember the soundtrack.
Well, you're a disappointment. Number one. The soundtrack is great. It's like a pseudo horror film, but he uses a waterfall, which is, if you've like ever heard a horror film, you know what a waterfall is. Might not sound like a familiar instrument. Please go on. Yeah, so it's like it's a prevalent instrument in like horror, but it's just so great because they use like these very, you know, it's like when we talked about analog versus digital. All this, like, get all these instruments, and then they just synthesize like the fuck out to make them sound just pure synthetic. Are we good?
Yeah.
It's very
Discord.
It's coming out.
I just forgot to mute my phone.
It's coming out of your paycheck.
Yes. No.
No, great. If you've never listened to Ben Salisbury work, it's my favourite film score shit. But the films he works on is like a weird twist of like alien or human. Like Orwell, like Annihilation. I don't know if you've seen it.
Well, the film.
Oh, so good.
I recently, growing up and talking about films, I bought a film pack of all of the Aliens. Six film pack. 1, 2, 3, whatever number 4 was called. Resurrection and the... Is it Exum? No. It's the name after a god, isn't it? One of them.
Exodus.
Exodus.
That's one, yeah.
And then the last one was
a I don't know.
Yeah, but I've got like just six film packs and I just didn't need to watch them.
Sorry, we'll edit. Dan will edit that out.
So you guys don't know, but I'm the editor. And Roland is just the host.
What do you mean, just?
He's just the host. He does nothing. I'm joking.
I'm the brains of this show.
No. Don't go
I'm messing. I'm messing, but no. I've never really watched the Alien films.
Haven't you?
No.
I've got them on my one.
I think they're a bit. I know it's like Ridley Scott. Great. You know, as a god for like, through the 80s and whatever.
Mm.
For like the films he did. I know he did Blade Runner.
Oh, you like Blade Runner?
Oh, I love Blade Runner. It's great. I love 2049. Not a lot of people did. It's a shame.
I was going to watch it. I was going to buy it on my Google Movies, like the Aliens. But watching the trailer, I was like, I don't know what anything's happening because I haven't seen the first one.
It's spaceship goes boo boo, big alien come bang bang.
Isn't that just aliens?
Yeah.
And Predator.
I've just like described all six of the films. You
and Predator.
Yeah, and Predator, yeah. No, but that's like. Oh, yes. Spaceship goes boom. Alien goes bang bang.
It's literally that.
Oh, God.
Isn't that all?
It's all alien.
All alien. Well,
I'm sure it's like Prometheus, right? Oh, yeah.
Prometheus! That's what the alien film was called.
Yeah. Spaceship goes boo boo.
It wasn't called Alien Prometheus. It was just called Prometheus.
Yeah, Alien goes bang.
Because it's named after a god.
Oh yeah.
Because Prometheus was the saying. It's from a famous game. It's like Prometheus was punished by the gods for giving humans.
Fire was it?
No, I can't remember.
I think it was. Stole fire from.
It was from Portal. That was cool. I put the quote in one of my songs. Prometheus was punished by the gods for giving the gift of life to man. I think it was.
Stop messing with the connection.
Fucking. Look what happened to it.
Oh, fuck.
Oh. Well, it unplugged my mic, guys. Great.
We'll have to cut that. But anyway, yeah, I know he was tortured by eaten by crows alive, and then at the end of the day, degenerated and rest over and over again.
Oh yeah, because halfway through the quote, it said he was pecked.
Anyway, what do you think Prometheus gave to mankind? Is it A, fire, B, life, or C, fuck all? because Greek mythology isn't real. No, we're only messing. We really are.
Yeah, you coming off of it.
Yeah. No, great. I don't know about the alien soundtracks. Ex Machina, 10 out of 10, bang bang. But Ex Machina, right?
Mm.
House goes boo boo.
House goes boo boo.
Machine goes bang bang.
Machine goes bang bang.
So many films.
Machine
can be...
rebel and go bang bang.
Yeah. Listen, Annihilation. Mm. Asteroid goes boo boo. Lighthouse goes bang bang.
I Robot,
dude.
Oh, that's a good one.
Dude, his arm goes boo boo. But his arm goes bang bang.
His arm goes bang bang, yeah. Plot twist, he was one. All along.
No. definitely we recommend Ex Machina Annihilation and Tron Legacy simply because it is done by Daft Punk, which they are amazing, non-repetitive at all. It should be hailed as the saints of anything.
I want to repick mine then. I have a Gladiator then.
Gladiator when he's walking through the wheat field.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen it. But
What do you mean you've never seen Gladiator?
But I've researched the soundtrack for movies.
Are you not entertained?
I know that phrase, but I've not seen the
Jesus
scene.
Christ.
Plus I've seen a film that I've watched multiple times, be
300. Yes. Sparta!
Ready your food.
The merchants go boo boo because Leonidas goes bang bang.
But he dies.
Yeah, that one.
Ready your hearts and eat hearty, for tonight we die in hell!
And on that note,
we
will end this episode. Thank you very much for joining us again. Patreon in the description, links in the description, sponsors in the description. Please, we need some sponsors. Today our sponsor has been water. Very sippy and fresh.
Very sippy and fresh. Mm. And also the exclusive plug-in for Drip.
Drip. No.
Ever not.
This last sponsor I'll go to is Drip. Fuck no. Anyway, thank you all very much again. And we will see you in the next
episode.
Woo!
Woo!